Okay, let's pray and get started here. Father, I thank you for a beautiful day. I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've put in my life. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting place. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful folks. Thank you, God, for all the great workers you've given us. And Lord, more than anything, I thank you for your grace and the message of your grace and your wanting to forgive us and give us eternal life as a free gift. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thanks for Jesus coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody having a great day so far?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, I'm getting everything besides the scripture up here. You got it up there? You're ahead of me. We got nothing here. You got any idea? Well, that's good. That's good. I can read it up there if we can't get it up here. We're all very flexible here.
Oh, that's not it. We'll give that a try again. Try that. Get forward.
Good. Good. Thanks. You guys can read around me? Okay. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're looking at about 4 or 5 verses. And this is titled, Being All Things to All Men. We simply lifted that phrase out of what we're going to read. So let's just dive in and read it. And this is Paul, the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, Though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. Can you hear the intensity in his voice? Can you hear the passion in his voice? I can, you know? This is of primary importance to Paul, that people get saved. That's what he's all about. What's he trying to save people from? Let's talk about that for a minute. There's bad news and there's good news. And I've heard it said, if you don't know the bad news, the good news is meaningless to you. Doesn't mean much. But if you've heard the bad news, it will. This is what God says, and Paul knew this. Okay? Matter of fact, Paul wrote this. God wrote this through Paul. And what God says is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's standard for his acceptance from us is we're to be perfect. That's what he says. If you want to come on your own behavior, you be perfect. And what he's saying here is nobody qualifies. Because, he says, all have already sinned and are continually falling short. That's the tense of the language of the glory of God. That would mean we're all lost, right? But here's the good news. That was Romans 3:23. This is Romans 6:23, where he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wrote that too. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. So we've got the bad news, we've got the good news. This is from the Lord also, obviously. And here's a statement from Jesus himself. He says, for even the Son of Man, and that's his title for himself that he much preferred. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What's he talking about? Jesus was our rescuer. He's the one who came to pay the price for our sins. He was paying a debt he did not owe. That's the reason he was on that cross, paying for our sins, paying for the sins of the entire world. Everybody who ever lived or will. But they don't apply to you unless you turn to him and tell him you believe in him, you're putting your trust in him to save you, and asking him to come into your life and forgive your sins. And if you will do that, you will be saved. You'll go to heaven. A couple of more verses on this subject. Everybody knows this by heart. That's the reason I rarely use it. But anyhow, it's a great verse. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Why would God send his only Son, whom he loves, to die on a cross for people, for us, for me, for you? He gives us a reason right here. There's only one reason. For God loved the world. When he says the world, he's talking about people here. So much that he would do that. And again, this verse sums it up. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This isn't good news. This is fantastic news. This is wonderful news. I remember when I heard this, I had to hear it over and over and over and read it over and over before I could believe that God could actually be that good. But he is. I think this may be the last verse I have on this. But it's a great verse. It's in Romans 10, verse 9. He says, if you confess with your mouth, and to confess is simply to agree with God. Okay? If you agree with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. You will be saved if you do that. This is the news that Paul was 100% committed about to get this message to people. Okay? This is the gospel, which means good news. The gospel of the free gift that God offers us, the grace of God. So back to this verse, I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. This was the mission of Paul's life. This was what he was all about. Now here's the question. Can you relate to this? Some of us can relate to this a lot more than other people. And sometimes it takes more time for people to really grab hold of this and how important it is. But God wants us to relate to this. And over a period of time, you should be able to relate to it. It should be very important to you also that other people hear this message. How can we be saved, know that we're going to heaven, that all of our sins are forgiven, and not be concerned about other people? Anyhow, there was a period of time when I couldn't. So why does Paul try to become all things to all people? Because we're going to live forever. Everybody in this room, according to the Bible, is going to live forever. Right now, the location is being determined. Okay, are you going to live in heaven with God and his people forever? Or are you going to go the other way? And there is a hell. And God, Jesus talks about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. I don't even like to talk about it. But there is a hell, and it's eternal. We're talking about people's eternal destiny. There's nothing more important than this. That's why Paul was trying to get people saved so they'd go to heaven. And here's what he says. This is out of Acts 20:24, toward the end of his life. And he says basically, nothing was more important to him than to testify solemnly of the gospel, or the good news of the grace of God. That is what he lived for, to get that message spread around. And thank God he did. And again, so that by all possible means I might save some. What does, and here's your question, no exam. What does becoming all things to all people look like? What does it not look like? Can you see around me? Well, I thought of a few things, and I've done every one of these more than once. Not by changing your identity when you're around people that you know are lost and you want to talk to them. Not by trying to act like you're a little better than you are or something like that. And a lot of these things are almost interchangeable. Not by acting like someone you're not. Sort of the same thing, right? We want to act like who we are, not like somebody we're not. Not by kissing up to people. Okay. I heard some laughter on that. We can relate to that kind of talk. You know, trying to get in their good favor, brown-nosing, stuff like that. The next one's very similar to it. Not by being a people pleaser. Thinking, if I'm a people, if I get him to really like me, he'll listen and he'll say yes. Okay. Number one, it's not your job to make sure people say yes. You can't make sure of that. It's their job to say yes. Your job is simply to get the message to them. Okay. Any way you can. And here's the last one, and I've really been guilty of this one. Not by arguing with people. Arguing over what the Bible really says or doesn't say and that kind of stuff. It took me a long time to realize no one has ever been won to the kingdom or argued into the kingdom. This is a free will decision everybody has to make. So this is what you don't want to do if you want to be all things to all people, if you want to get an audience with people. So let's talk about the other stuff. But first, I'll just say this. Be yourself. Just be yourself. God will use you just the way you are. He's more than adequate to do that. And he will. Being all things to all people, then how's that work? What's that look like? Be vulnerable. Be you. And one thing I want to be clear about is you will feel vulnerable when you're trying to witness to other people, lots of times. And the reason for that is simple, because you're taking a risk in a way. You're risking their relationship. It doesn't sound like you should be, but that's the way people are. And sometimes, you know, you may think, I'm going to take some heat, and you will lose some relationships probably if you do this. And you'll be making yourself vulnerable. But you need to do that for God to use you. And you can do it. And he's going to more than make up for it. In other parts of the world, and I know you guys have heard these stories, some Muslim countries and whatnot, you become a Christian, you're out of the family. Things like this. Thank God we don't have that here. Don't do this either. Don't think, well, I'm just a brand new Christian and I don't really have anything to share with anybody. Because you do. I don't know enough Bible to talk to people. Yeah, you do. If nothing else, you can tell people, this has been my experience with God. This is what happened with me. This is how God changed my life. Or this is how I'm doing this or doing that. This is why I'm going to a Bible study every week. And people can't really argue with that. And people do notice a change in you. The guy I work with, a couple of years older than me, and anyhow, he had a pretty rough background, a lot of bad stuff. But when he became a believer and he's got three sons, those three sons recognized my dad's changed. And that wound up eventually leading each one of them to Christ. So be you and be vulnerable and don't think you don't know enough, because you do. All of you do. And a lot of times, let me say this, God will use brand new believers to affect people more than he'll use older believers. Lots of times. Don't be self-righteous. Have you ever done that? I've never done that. No, I've done that. You know, different ways, I don't know how, but try not to do that, okay? If anything, be more humble than you ever were. We really should be, because we're charity cases. That's how we get saved. Being all things to all people again. How? This sort of relates to the other part. I know that, but let people know you're a believer. Don't be a secret Christian. There's a couple of reasons right off the top of my head for that. Number one, you can destroy a lot of misconceptions as you hang out with people. Okay? A lot of people think, well, if I become a Christian, I got to stop smoking. I can't ever drink again. I can't even go to the movies. I can't dance. You've heard all this stuff, I know. And if they're around you very long and they know you're a believer, you're going to destroy some of those misconceptions, you know. And it's amazing. A lot of people think you got it all together if you're a Christian. And they'll find out you don't, okay? And that's good. That's good. And the other thing is, you might get to be known as a Bible guy or a Bible woman, okay? I was in a bar here about 2 or 3 weeks ago, sitting with some guys, and this guy I know in the neighborhood, he was there, and he leaned across the table, and he said, hey, Kendall, you're a Bible guy. Who lived to be 700 years old in the Bible? I said, I don't know. Lots of people. But anyhow, they'll ask you questions, you know, and this was a guy that I've been trying to reach out to see this guy get saved. Well, he didn't ask the right questions, but it's a start, you know? And people will ask you questions if they're spiritually hungry. They'll do it. And you can answer. Pray for opportunities to witness. Do it by name. If you can, do it by name. If you can't do it by name, just pray for opportunities to witness. And I've had a number of people tell me that they've never gone and prayed that prayer and not had it answered within a matter of a few days. If you're alert, if you're paying attention to what's going on. If you can't pray by name, just pray for an opportunity. God, give me an opportunity to share what I know about you with somebody else. You'll do it. And you can always get a license plate that says Bible guy or something like that if you want to. No, don't do that. Read the Word frequently. Get in the Word. Get in God's Word and read it. And when I say frequently, that doesn't mean I'm going to read the Word an hour a day. Okay? If I tried to do that, I know I wouldn't do it. Try to get in on a regular basis. I don't care if you just open it up and read it for 5 minutes. Get into God's Word and let Him condition you, because that's what He'll do. He'll condition you to share His Word with other people. He'll create a desire in you to do that. But He will. He'll do that. The Word changes us. It says the Word is living and active. It's not just ink on a page. And it will change you. So read the Word. And be sensitive to other people and how they think and how they feel. Think about people when you're not around them. Think about what makes them tick. So be sensitive to people. Try to. Okay. And one of the ways you're not sensitive to people, as I've done, is you don't go into their house and light a cigarette and blow smoke in their face when they don't smoke and they're irritated by smoke and stuff like that. I really have done that. That's pretty blatant. But anyhow, try to be sensitive to where people are. Don't needlessly offend people. Okay, same thing. In the next chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about the fact that when he's with Jewish people who believe there's only certain foods you can eat, he will never eat those foods around them lest he offend them, their conscience. Okay? If he's not around them, it's fine. Paul says all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. So don't offend people. Here, relate to their world. And I just named a few things here. If they're into art, music, books, athletics, gardening, whatever, relate to their world as much as you can. And just let me tell you this. You cannot do that hardly unless you spend considerable time with people. So it's going to take time to get to know people. Now, by that, I do not mean I've got to be around this person for a solid year before I can witness. Okay? A lot of times you can meet somebody right off the street and be able to do that. But normally, you're going to want to spend time with people and get to know them. What do they like? What do they not like? Are they into hobbies? Same type of thing. Do they like stuff you like? You play golf, you know? No. Sucks. Anyway. Where are they most comfortable? Where are they most comfortable talking and being open with you? I have found that with guys, a lot of times it's riding in a car. Just a couple of guys in a car driving down the street or going someplace. It seems like guys relate better when they're doing something, you know? Yeah. I don't know why that is, but that tends to be the way we are. There may be exceptions. Where are they most comfortable? Sitting on the front porch, in their house, in a car, whatever? Think about it. Part of what I'm getting at is all of these things, a lot of them anyhow, they require you to be thinking about the people that you want to witness to, that you want to talk to. And God will help you do it. Remember who you represent and remember who's with you. You know, the Bible says we are all ambassadors for Christ if we've accepted Jesus. And he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And when you're sitting there with that person and you're trying to figure out where to go next, pray, ask God. And we'll talk about that more right now. Does anybody know what the Nehemiah prayer is? Well, the Nehemiah prayer, some of you are familiar with it. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a slave from Israel, anyhow. He was serving a king, a foreign king, and the king noticed that Nehemiah was not looking very happy one day. And he said to Nehemiah, and I'm cutting to the chase here, so what's the problem? Why do you look so sad? And Nehemiah said something like, why shouldn't I be sad when my father's land lays in ruins and the gates of the city are all burned? And the king said to Nehemiah, he said, so what can I do for you? Which I'm sure shocked Nehemiah. And it says that Nehemiah prayed to God, and then he answered. This fast, Nehemiah, what can I do for you? Bam, Nehemiah prayer. You know, the nanosecond prayer. And then Nehemiah answers him. And Nehemiah's shocked when the king says, okay, go ahead, in so many words. Anyhow, this again, you're sitting with somebody, you're around somebody, and you're trying to say something to them that may move them toward Jesus. And you don't know what to say, God, give me a hand. Or however you verbalize it. And it can happen that quick. And God can answer that quick. And I'm glad he can. And again, who says this? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you. This is God's words. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is intense language. This is important stuff. God says, I want you to be into this. I'm into this. That's the reason I sent my son. So remember that verse. God made you an ambassador, and we are ambassadors 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether we like it or not. You know? And you'll be affecting people one way or the other. What do people want? I've named three things here that people want. And the first thing I've got listed is They want to be respected. We all want respect. I think men want it more than women, maybe. So how do we do that? We show them common courtesy again. Think about them. Ask people questions about themselves. I don't mean, you know, real personal stuff. Where are you from? You know? You got brothers and sisters? What do you do? Have you lived here long? What did you do before that? Whatever. You're getting into their world when you're talking to people about stuff like this. And people, most people, will readily answer you these questions because people like to be drawn out. A lot of people feel loved that way. Think about what they say. I know I'm repeating myself on some of this stuff, but a lot of it applies across the board. When people give you answers, think about what those answers mean. I know a guy, he came from a poor background. He was working in a bar. There was a judge who came into the bar, lawyers that came into the bar. They talked to the guy. They asked him if he'd like to work in their office maybe. He said, yeah. The next thing you know, he's getting an education in law at somebody else's expense. The next thing you know, he's a judge, so forth and so on. At first, I would have thought this guy just had a golden horseshoe, okay? But it turns out he came up from nothing, and he worked his way up. And that tells me something about this guy. He can relate to certain things other people couldn't relate to. Make sense? Consider what they say. Don't rush people. I think I can have a real tendency to rush people when I'm trying to talk to them about the Lord, because I want to get it done. I want to get it out there. So don't rush people. Give them time to think. Give them time to respond. Agree with them when you can. When you can. Again, this guy that I work with, he's been trying to reach out to his brother-in-law for years. And the guy's been, he's a pretty rough customer. And anyhow, the last time he was with him, he asked him, so what, you seem a little different. What do you think about what we've talked about in the past? You know, God and the Bible and all that. And the guy, he just named one thing right after the other. And like my friend told me, he said, I agreed with him on almost everything he said. He said, I was glad I could do that. He said, it got to a certain point where it got foggy. And he said, I don't think I'm ready to make that decision yet. So he knew he'd gone far enough, but he could also tell somehow or another this guy's making real progress, and he's been praying for this guy for years. Agree with him when you can. And here's a big one. Be honest with people. Admit your own shortcomings with people. We're no better than anybody else. God certainly knows that. We're just forgiven sinners, like they're sinners, not forgiven maybe. At that point, be honest about who you are. Admit your shortcomings, whatever they may be. I can remember sitting in a car in Indianapolis with a guy, and he was a businessman. I was selling stuff to businesses. And I knew his business had some problems, but I also knew that he had some big personal problems. He had a marriage problem where I think it was sort of a battlefield from day to day. And he was a good guy. I liked the guy. And we're sitting in the car, and here's what he told me. He said, if I wasn't a Christian now, I would be a derelict. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd be a derelict. I was not a Christian at all. Farthest thing from it. But someplace in my heart, I wanted to find God. When he told me that, think of what he was doing. He was pointing me to God. Okay? He said, if I wasn't a Christian, now I'd be a derelict. That told me God's got something that this guy really needed, And God can do some stuff for people. And also, he was telling me, I'm a Christian, and I'm a messed up guy. I've got a bad marriage. Don't believe that stuff. You become a Christian, you're going to have a great marriage overnight. Because he didn't. And it was obvious. But he got it out there. Years later, here's the way it worked. Years later, when I finally became a Christian, that came back to me, that conversation I had with that guy. That was, not just that, but that was one of the things that came back to me, and I realized that was God's signpost saying, I'm the way. So admit who you are. Admit your own shortcomings. People want to be respected. People want to be heard. And that's part of the same thing. And again, some of these points will carry over to other things. They want to be heard. Again, be sensitive to people. And be sensitive to shy people. Some people are much more eager to talk than other people. If people are shy, you're going to have to move slower with them, normally. But once they realize that you're sincere and you care, and you're not just trying to get a notch on your belt, but you care about them personally, they'll open up, normally. Be sensitive to shy people. Again, listen to what people are telling you. Listen close and think about it. Listen much more than you talk. You ever been around people, they just want to talk and tell you everything they know? And don't you just want to say, shut up? Well, that's the way you're going to come across to people if you don't listen. Listen. Take your time. Don't rush them. Listen more than you talk. Now, here's a hard one for me sometimes. Remember what they say. Remember what they tell you. Because, again, I'm so anxious to go. I want to get this said. I want you to hear this. You know? Remember what they say. Ask God to help you remember, and he will help you remember. And if you're anything like me, you're going to need the help. Consider what they tell you. We already got that. Agree with them where you can all over again, right? Be agreeable with people. Be easy to be around. Don't be judgmental. Don't be self-righteous, any of that stuff. Ask appropriate questions when you can. And sometimes it'll be easy to figure out the right question to ask, you know. But anyhow, I'll cut to the chase on this. I was in the office of a Jewish businessman here a year or so ago. And I'd known him back when I was doing business. And I'm sitting in front of him at his desk. And he's talking about this. And we're talking about this, that, business, blah, 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 blah. And I came over there because I wanted to talk to him about the Lord. But I wasn't rushing him. I was listening to him. We were talking about business. Okay, so we got pretty much done. I could tell it was almost over. And I didn't know what to say. So I just said, so Norm, what do you think it's going to be like when it's all over? We went from talking about copy machines and supplies to what do you think it's going to be like when it's all over? Just bam. And he just sort of looked at me and he said, what do you mean? I said, what do you think it's going to be like when it's all over? He said, what do you mean? I said, what do you think it's going to be like when it's all over? And he said, you mean when I die? I said, yeah. He said, here's, honest to God, this is his answer. You know, I don't know. But since I turned 58, I think about it a whole lot more than I used to. I thought, good. Okay. So we pretty much dropped it at that point. But I asked him, you know, if I gave you a little book that talks about that sort of thing, would you be willing to read it? He said, yeah. I wound up giving him Andy Stanley's book, you know, How Good's Good Enough. As far as I know, you never got saved. Not yet, anyhow. But I know you got witnessed to. By Andy Stanley in that little book. And I know that he had a category for thinking about what's next. Because he said, since I had that birthday, I'll think about it more and more. Last thing, what do people want? They want to be respected. They want to be heard. They want to be loved. We all want that. A lot of people think, I want to be respected. I want to be heard. And I just want peace. I want people just to leave me alone. But the truth is, we all want to be loved. And here's just a few things off the top of my head, ways that you can demonstrate people, and you don't think of it this way normally, but we're demonstrating that we care about them. Serve them. I don't care how you do it. Serve them some way. Okay. How about watching Fido for them? If they're going out of town, somebody's got to watch the mutt. Okay. You volunteer. We'll take care of your dog for you. Somebody's got to do it. Volunteer to do it. And if you like dogs, it's even better. Fix them a meal. As everybody in this room knows, I'm married to a woman who's an excellent cook. I got no idea how many meals she's fixed for people. Okay, had them over, delivered them many times. People feel loved by that. And there's something about food. You know, there's something about food that makes us feel warm toward people. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Isaiah, when we go to heaven, all of us believers, we're going to have a huge feast that God himself is going to orchestrate. And it says it's going to be good, full of good food and aged wine and things like this that you're really going to like. So food's a big one. Mow the lawn. Give them a hand if they need it. I mean, you know, if a guy's 6'8", weighs 300 pounds, and he's got a riding lawnmower with a thing on it this wide, I wouldn't volunteer to mow his lawn necessarily. Okay? But if you know certain people that are in a situation where they need that, volunteer to do it. It'll pay big dividends. Visit people. Just visit them. Used to, people did that a lot more than they do anymore. You know? Just show up, visit them sometimes. Think about it before you do it, but just visit them, hang out with them. Study the Bible with certain people if they want to study. Be bold enough to ask them, hey, you ever really looked at the Bible? What it says, you want to get into it together? We'll look at a page a night or whatever. Visit the sick. You've heard of that one. Bring them food, bring them a book, bring them music, whatever. Sit with them, hang out with them. It means a lot to people, particularly when they're sick, to have people visit them. Go out of your way at times to be with these people. It means something to people when you go out of your way to be with them, because they know you do when you do it. You know, I know people who've driven 150 miles just to spend a few hours with somebody. And those people have said things like, you're a heck of a girl, heck of a guy, whatever, you know. I really appreciate what you're doing. Because they know you're going out of your way. And that tells people something. That tells them you care about them. You're not charging them to come. You're just doing it, okay, to be with them. That means a lot to people. Bottom line when it comes to serving people is think practical. Think, what do they need that you can supply? Just do it. And you're being a great witness for the Lord when you do that. And I think some people are much more gifted at doing that than others, but we can all do this on one level or another. And here's what I want to say. They may feel the effect immediately of what you've done. It may impact them right away, and they may realize, wow, other people don't treat me this way. What's different about him? Oh, he's a Christian. Some people impact right away. Some people it will not impact for years, what you've done. But God will do all he can to use what you've done to impact people. I can remember when my mother was dying of cancer in 1984. She developed pancreatic cancer in June. And she suffered for 6 months. And my dad, who was a really hard man. Okay, he was not a Christian, not even close. But he was there with her. It was just him and her at that point. And people found out what the situation was. And people that cared about her, and most of them I think were probably believers, started bringing stuff over. They'd bring food, okay, for both of them. They'd come and just sit with her. They'd do all sorts of things to serve them over a period of 6 months. My dad, he had no choice. He had to sit and watch them coming. You know, there they are again with food. Well, I like that food, you know. Well, what? Jeez, that many people. And this went on for 6 months, and then she died, okay? And he did not get saved, not immediately. Matter of fact, he lived 9 more years. But in that period of time, some people influenced him enough that he started going to a church there in the neighborhood, and he did get saved. I know that for a fact, as well as a man can know it. And I'm positive that one of the things that really influenced him and impacted him, this was a turning point in his life, was when his wife was dying and he sees all of these Christians coming over and serving her and him. That was a lifeblood witness to this man, and he needed that kind of stuff. He was a hard dude. But I know for a fact he got saved. I can tell you about that some other time. Or one-on-one. But he did. Ray Bolts made a song years ago. And some of you guys I know have heard the song. Thank You was the name of the song. And then in this song, he's talking about when you go to heaven as a believer, that people are going to come up to you. A lot of times people, you won't even know. And they're going to say, thank you. Thank you for influencing me the way you did. Thank you for giving money that affected my life. Thank you for mowing my lawn when I didn't even know why you were mowing it. Okay? But thank you. And you're going to hear that from people. Okay? And just consider that. God doesn't waste anything. He will use what you do to impact people. I should have got the song, I guess, and played it. And here's what Paul says again back in 1 Corinthians. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. If we share the gospel with other people, we're going to share in the blessings of the gospel with these people. We're going to feel a joy about just doing it, whether we do it good or whether we do it bad. But one of the reasons we're going to feel a joy is because we're being faithful to the Lord, obedient to him, and doing what he wants us to do. So we're going to feel good about it. Now, here's something that I stole, like a lot of stuff. Our here and now reward. And here's what this person says about this sort of thing. There is the present joy and excitement of seeing people come to Christ. Anytime that happens, wow, we love it, right? Of seeing people come to Christ. And he says this, the only way you can keep it, and he's talking about the joy and excitement, the only way you can keep it is by giving it away, what you know, to other people. While our salvation is secure, there's a sense in which our ability to continue to enjoy the blessings of the gospel is connected to our willingness to share it with other people. And what's our main motivation for doing this? Our motivation for doing it is God's love for us, what he's already done for us. We're not doing it to win brownie points with God or anybody else. We're remembering what God has already done for us. Remember the people that he sent into your life. I can certainly remember the people he sent into my life. It was probably kind of scary for some of them. But he did it, and they were obedient. And I'm eternally grateful to him. That's the way that is. Now, I'm going to end with this quote from C.S. Lewis, okay? I don't want to be in the way of the screen. Here's what he says. Think about this. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to be sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it'll change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. That's it. You're going to take a risk and make yourself a little vulnerable when you try to tell people about the Lord and how you get a relationship with Him. But it's more than worth it. And think of the alternative, just to go by them and ignore them. We don't want to do that. Anyhow, I'm going to end right there. You got questions, comments? Hold your hand up. Somebody will bring you a mic. And if you're a first-time guest, we got a gift for you. Stop by over there at the welcome booth. We got a couple of books, Christianity, the Faith That Makes Sense, or How Good Is Good Enough, the book I gave away, and people give you one if you're a first-time guest. You should have a card in your the thing we pass out, update. Give us your feedback on that about how we can improve this meeting. We're going to pass the hat around here for a collection. If this is not part of your fellowship, just pass it on by. We don't want your money. And we got, we got 20-some minutes for your kids to be in Oasis. So anybody got something to say? Hold up your hand. We'll bring you a mic. Right over there, two of them.
Yeah. Kendall, you mentioned not waiting until you know enough before you start talking to people. I used to be that way. Well, I can't really share my faith because I don't understand it all. You know, I don't understand everything. I can't answer every question. I need to get more knowledge, which is true. I mean, I did need to get more knowledge. But the bottom line is, I knew enough to be convinced myself to become a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're in that position where you're a Christian and yet you don't want to reach out to others because you don't know everything, well, then why are you a Christian? I mean, you must know something, right? Something must have convinced you. So, if it was enough for me, if it was enough for you, then why aren't you sharing what you do know? And I'll tell you what, nothing gets you in there with somebody more than saying, you know what, I don't know the answer. Let's go find it together. Let's go look it up. Let's work together and find out.
That's great. That's great. Thanks. You can't argue with that logic.
I liked your list of points on what people want. I had an interesting conversation this week with my neighbor. She's taken hermeneutics up at Main Campus, and I'd been praying for her and her husband. They're both taking it, and I thought I'd just call her and see how that class is going. So I did.
Yeah.
And she said, Joyce, she goes, we love it so much. We're just insanely in love with this class and all that we're learning. And she works at a restaurant down in German Village. Just today I had a conversation that I needed so bad with somebody, and yet it was devastating at the same time. I said, well, what happened? She goes, well, a customer came in, and I told him that I'm taking this hermeneutics class because I just love it. I'm so excited about it. I've never known about the Bible much before, and which was true. When they moved there a few years ago, they believed a little bit of every religion out there, and they were so confused. So she was just thrilled that, you know, it's all coming together. She's learning. So she's telling this customer about, you know, what she's been learning in hermeneutics. And the guy looked at her and he said, you know, that's the best thing and the worst thing about Xenos. And she said, what? And he goes, well, they teach the Bible so well, but then the people go out with what they learn and they stuff it in everybody's face. And she's like, she goes, oh my gosh, you're right. That's what I'm doing. And apparently we have a reputation for that around town. And she's like, she goes, I was so humbled. She goes, but he was so right. And I'm like, you know what? I've done that too. Oh my gosh. And it just reminded me of a book that we had to read in the Final Hope Ministry. And I think it was a book by Bill Hybels. I can't remember the name of it anymore. But he's talking about how to get in there with people. And he said, you know, you need to start the conversation, but all you got to do is say, do you have any spiritual beliefs? And then just let them talk as long as they want to and never contradict anything that they say. Just listen good, you know. And maybe if, you know, you're blessed, the person will say, do you have any spiritual beliefs? And there'll be an open door. But if they don't say that, you know, don't force anything upon them. Because it just leads to an argument. And it reminded me what you said about your Jewish friend.
That's great. Yeah. Any spiritual beliefs? I try to remember that. Up here.
I'm so glad Joy shared that story. I wanted her to, because we had talked about that yesterday. Just to piggyback on that, I have a group of friends, and I just recently started praying for opportunities with them. Mm-hmm. So by golly, one night we're sitting at my house, and they start talking about going to a healing fountain somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, they're like, you want to come along, you know, and I'm going to start some kind of, well, the Bible says, totally blew it. They're looking at me like, yeah, we're not never talking about that again with her. And really, I was convicted and just started praying for more open doors and another opportunity with them, and that God would shut my mouth, because I totally interrupt people, always trying to be right, always trying to share something. But later on was able to quietly and humbly give them the gospel. But he does do that. You know, it's like, put yourself out there. Even if you make a mistake, God still loves you, and pray for more opportunities. You know, just wanting to encourage everybody. So also, I want to ask you what book that C.S. Lewis quote is from.
I don't know.
Do you happen to know?
My wife knows.
That's okay.
Talk to her.
Okay.
Thanks for being so honest. I mean, that's, you know, that pays. Just to be who you are. One over here.
As you were talking, I kind of in my mind was summarizing this all up, that we have to have other-centered thinking. And as simple as that sounds, like for a definition of love, it's incredibly hard to do. If you think of how I live my life, it is the rarity that my vision is being able to be lifted up beyond the task at hand.
Yep.
Or myself. And so it's so hard. I think sometimes I feel like this language, he said he made himself a slave to all. That sounds like dysfunctional, and we even make it distorted into something bad to be having this other-centered thinking. So, I don't know. That's why we need the power of God to raise our eyes to what God is actually doing. That's what always humbles me, is God is the one that is actively out there. Yep. Seeking and loving. And it's not that I'm so great thinking ahead. I'm usually, you know, in my own little world. So.
Thanks. Thanks.
Yeah. This was years ago. I was preparing a teaching on the simplicity of the gospel. Yeah. And I came up with a little saying that helps me remember to keep it simple. It's called PISPI. And God is perfect, and we are imperfect. And God has a problem with our imperfections. But he provided the solution through Jesus dying on the cross. But we have a choice, and we need to personalize that solution. And if we choose to do that, we will have eternal life with God. And I think it's real important sometimes, because I found myself wanting to debate with people when I was sharing the gospel rather than just getting a message out there.
Yep.
And I think that's real important for us to remember.
Couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you more.
I want to throw a plug in for home groups, because if you are getting in there with people who, in particularly, well, not even particularly, difficult people, because people are messy. And
good point.
And you can get discouraged because you've been praying, God, put somebody in my path to witness to, and they're not listening. Or they, in my case, a lot of people have stopped talking to me because, well, look, I don't want to listen to that. Are shunned or whatever it is, and even your family, you know, your biological family. I have many family members who will not speak to me because of where I am. If I did not have the support of my home group and those like-minded people, I would be very lonely, because you are not only reminded of God's spirit, truth, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I love you, but to have, you know, the hug or the encouragement or just rubbing shoulders with somebody, you know what? You care. You know, we care about you. And even bouncing ideas off. You know, this person's really, really difficult. What should be my next step? Where do you think? And someone saying, you know what? I don't know, but I'll be praying for that person for you. You know, it's, we weren't designed to be going at this alone. And you can sure feel alone, because Satan's really good at the lies that you're ineffective, that, well, this person doesn't like you. You know, whatever the lies would be. But if you're not in there with other Christians, you know, getting built up, encouraged, ideas, even just resting with the people around you, you can definitely be taken out and just feel very discouraged.
I think you're making a great point. We have to be in there with our brothers and sisters for support, you know. It's critical. Thanks.
I really liked, like Joyce said, I liked that list of things that people need. I was thinking about a neighbor that we have that, you know, I wanted to give the gospel to, like, many years ago, and we started talking about the Bible and stuff like that, and I came to realize that she has a whole different set of beliefs. And so instead of, like, debating her, which, you know, is sort of my hurry-up kind of way of getting it said and getting it done, at one point I realized that, and I know it was from the Lord because, you know, I'm not that smart. I don't think of these things myself, but at one point it was like, God was putting on my heart, you need to just be her friend, and you need to just love her. And so that's sort of, I guess, what I'm trying to do. But I guess when spiritual stuff comes up then, and she'll say something that's kind of out there, I will just not try to debate her, just say, well, here's what the Bible says about that. And I remember hearing once that, you know, the Word of God is like a lion. All you have to do is open the cage and it'll defend itself. And so, you know, when it doesn't have to be me defending myself. Mm-hmm. God will defend himself. If we just said, here, if we have the opportunity and say, here's what God says about that, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. I've heard that too. I like that. We don't have to defend God. Just open the cage, the Word, and let it do its job. Anybody else? Reg. Oh, you can't speak in the microphone.
You want me to repeat all, everything you say? And I'm like,
everybody repeat after me. I noticed occasionally on the news about somebody saying, like, the latest thing about this Occupy event, that Jesus would be here and things like that. And I noticed that it comes from people that are atheists. And like that, it's like, why would they be talking about that? And so I was very critical of them and that kind of thing. And then I got to thinking that, what an opportunity this would be if somebody asked me that question, why would they say that? Or if that should come up in a conversation that I happen to be involved in, I would have the opportunity to get the truth out there. And so I can... Yeah. I turned it around from being very critical of these people to, gee, what an opportunity for people of faith to be able to rebut those types of statements coming from people that don't know the Bible, people that are atheists. And also that made me think that perhaps all those controversial things that show up in the media are really opportunities for us to get the truth out there, because our neighbors... When the Passion came out, the lady from across the street came over and asked about that. And so we had the opportunity to give the gospel message in unequivocal terms.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, these are really opportunities.
It's a good point there, too. Good point. We just need to think about how to do it, I think. I think you're right. One more time.
I was going to play devil's advocate a little bit here, and if you could speak to a little bit more about what it doesn't look like to become all people, to all people, where the boundaries are for exceptions to that. I've heard this verse used for pot smoking, etc. So I was wondering if you would just speak to that for a minute.
Yeah, I think you just sort of did speak to it a little bit. Just because your neighbor likes to get drunk all the time, it's not really a good idea for you to get drunk with him. You're not being a good witness. I know people who, and they've been, anyhow, you know some of them, but I know people who, let's say they were into pot and whatnot, and then they got saved, and they decided, I got to lay that stuff down, it's not good. But then they wanted to reach out to their old buddies, okay? So every time they went to reach out to their old buddies, they'd wind up getting high, smoking pot with them again. And you're just not being a good witness when you do that. We don't want to misrepresent God. That's the easiest way I know how to say it. Do you have an idea? Well, no, you don't want to do anything to violate God's moral law. That's a better way to say it, I guess. Right here.
Or the image that comes to my mind, if they're drowning in the sea and you're in a rescue boat, you offer a ladder down, you reach down, you outreach to them. You don't jump into the water and drown with them.
No, that's true. That's a good point you're making. I don't think most of us have a tendency to do that. Okay? I think the stronger tendency is just sort of look the other way. But that's a good point. No, you don't want to get in the pig pen with them. Okay. We're going to pray now. Anybody wants to pray, hold your hand up. They'll bring you a mic. I'll close her up.
Lord, it's a great message. I think about the gospel and sharing my faith, and I know that Paul was 100% right in saying that he is all things to all people, so he can save a few. But I don't think It's the whole story of Scripture. It's when I look in that Bible too, I see where Paul paid a huge price for sharing that faith. Mm-hmm. And men ultimately killed him for his faith. And that Jesus said so many things when he was here about, you know, the world hates you. Remember, hated me first. Why does the world hate us? I don't think it hates us. It hates the message of Jesus Christ. And Scripture is true. The message of Christ is a stumbling block to the nations. And that no matter how we bring that message, in truth, hopefully, in love, hopefully, thinking of other circumstances, hopefully, in cultural sensitivity, hopefully, we should also be aware that regardless of how good we're able to bring that message, it will be a stumbling block. Yeah. We will have people come against us because of that. We will have people want to kill us because of that. And there's so many nations on this planet who right now do not accept this message, and they don't accept it to the point where we will kill you if that's your message. So let's don't be ignorant when we go out to share our faith that it's going to be well accepted no matter how we bring it, because the message of Christ is a stumbling block to the nations. But let's do our best to show people the good things that Christ has shown us and do it in a way that honors him.
Lord, thanks for thank you, God, for being willing to come and suffer for us. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for making it so simple that a child could do it. And I thank you, God, that you put us into service also. And you ask us, Lord, to take this message to other people who are just like we were. And I pray, Lord, give each of us a burden to reach the lost. I don't care how we do it, speaking or non-speaking, Lord, but show us how to serve people and represent you in the right way, Lord, and help us to get that opportunity to share the message of your grace with folks and make us aware of who they are and when the time is right. Thanks for everybody here today, Lord, and thank you for doing what you've done for us and promising, Lord, an eternity in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm.